Last week on Away, we profiled this year's first World Indigenous Philosophy Week. Today we begin our series of the speakers from Lingalonga Philosophy Farm. Our first speaker is Errol West, a Palawa man from Tasmania and senior lecturer at the Southern Cross University in Lismore. So imagine yourself in the country, seated on log seats around a fire, as Errol West sets the scene for us to consider what is Indigenous philosophy.
I pay great honour to the Biripi and the Bundjalung people for allowing my family and myself to reside in their precious country. I pay honour to their spiritual ancestors that care for them and for those of us who dwell within the confines of their nursery, their responsibility area. And I pay honour to my grandfather Manalagena, and I pray that his words will pass through me to you with integrity but challenge. Philosophy is an interesting phenomenon. What's happened is we have gone from natural behaviour to unnatural behaviour. We are trying to categorise that creates us. We don't feel comfortable without the little boxes, the little categories, which is why I'm sure you'll forgive me for naming my paper Feeding Your Fetish by asking Indigenous philosophy, does it exist? Should it exist? If it does, what is it? And if it doesn't, why doesn't it? Finally, do the answers to any of these questions make a difference? I wonder if they make a difference. The dictionary defines for you what philosophy is. They got the words to explain it. Basically, philosophy is the pursuit of wisdom. And those of you who are barefooted and touching the ground are standing at the core of philosophy. The process of removing yourself from the natural to unnatural behaviour has been very costly. If you come here seeking frames of reference upon which to build your life, you may get some, you may get nothing. The feast we've had from last night until the moments before I spoke was living philosophy, examples of natural behaviour in a natural environment. I'll leave you with two axioms that I really believe we ought to think deeply on for the rest of our lives. It is not your right to understand, but it is your obligation to accept difference. It is not your right to understand, but it is your obligation to accept difference or newness. Had we had the capacity to do that, no weapon of war would ever have been created. I have a belief that the 200-year war in this country has remained non-violent because of the deep love of human life that my elders and ancestors have for people of difference. And it was not until the women and children were murdered and poisoned that the men struck back with overt violence. And don't point at one example somewhere down in Victoria about spear and a sheep. Get real about the philosophy. What man will not protect his future generations and his beloved? Can I repeat it? It is your obligation not to understand but accept. And I have learnt one other thing before I invite my brother and sister up here. There is another axiom, that is, one does not pursue the knowledge of elders. Elders' knowledge pursues you when it chooses you. Elders' knowledge, wisdom and truth, you cannot pursue it. It pursues you. And it may choose something that we as mere cripple, physically inept, spiritually inept, intellectually inept, they may choose somebody we would not first think of. That's partly wisdom, but also exercise of obligation. Let me introduce Marcel Townsend Cross and Chris Fisher, my dearly beloved brother and sister.
Thank you. This song that we'd like to sing for you, we believe really expresses some of the things that we need to listen to, the things that we need to pay attention to as a group of human beings. It's called The Rhythm.
There's a rhythm energy seen through frequencies and waves move through everything. In the pattern of the stars, in the music from the heart, in the powers of the mind, felt so strong yet undefined. Harmony in motion, there's a pattern in sound, fundamental vibe all around.
Play along.
Neither particle nor wave, no equation can relate. Intuition between friends, this is the pulse of consciousness. As the human voice sounds out, words and notes intertwine. What's this energy release? What's this chill down your spine? It's harmony in motion. There's a pattern in sound. Fundamental vibe all around. Reflections never end, streams of harmony, and in cycles we breathe, as the planet and the trees, through every heartbeat and cell, it's moving through everything. Harmony in motion. There's a pattern in sound. It's a fundamental vibe all around. All around. It's a river beneath the breeze. Tempo of energy. Seen through frequencies and waves, moving through everything. As the human voice sounds out, words and notes intertwine. What's this energy release? What's this chill down your spine? It's harmony. There's a pattern in sound. It's a fundamental vibe all around. All around.
Thank you.
Marcel Townsend Cross and Chris Fisher at the World Indigenous Philosophy Week. You're listening to Away on Radio National. We return to our keynote speaker from Philosophy Week, Errol West from the Southern Cross University.
I believe that if you're not in tune with the elements, however, whatever names you call them, whatever they are for you, but the elements that make what we ridiculously call nature effective and consistent, I do not believe that you can in fact be a whole person. And if you're unable to truly see yourself, the logical question is, how can you truly see anyone else? We carry a spot in our energy aura that's, you'll have to forgive me for sounding racist, but one only does what one's learned. We have a huge white spot here. And I took counsel from a couple of elders here, one who is not from this country and one who is from this country, and they confirmed my belief that this area here is where our intuition coalesces all of the bits that make us, and through this space we make good, bad, well, poor, nice or naughty decisions and behaviours. You've heard the expression, oh, I got a bad feeling in my guts about this, yeah? I want to share with you a couple of sentences. Touch the grass. Please, touch the grass. Now, if you had some ethereal, emotional experience, you're wacky. Because it don't work like that. You've lost the plot. Completely. It don't work like that. Neither do our philosophies or our interpretations. But if we don't get to know ourselves, irrespective of the colour of your skin or the gene pool you come from or you think you come from, because I got a secret for you, you come from mine. But oddly, I come from yours. We are indeed one. So my question is the discussion of philosophy not another red herring to avoid dealing with the denial that this country finds itself in? If you believe that, you take this beautiful week and the sharing, and you go out there and you become a change agent. Open up the space to allow your intuition to become a driving force in who you are. Because actually, if you don't, you walk with a limp. You walk with a stone in your shoe, or you walk barefooted, but you don't walk well. If your intuition remains immaterial, numb, anaesthetized, sated with greed and perception of self-importance, you will never be well. But let me say this to you in terrible, terrible honesty. If you go away from here, the same person you were when you arrived, wasted a week of your life, but worse, you've wasted a week of ours. I can't speak for any other Indigenous person here, nor should I, nor would I even vaguely suggest that I do. What I know because of my ancestors, my elders, and many elders around this country. I'm lucky. I'm a Palawa man, a Tasmanian. You see, we're not all dead. If I am, you're in deep horrors. So I'm a figment of your best political imagination. Deal with that. I've had to. Do you know how easy it is to stand up and say, I'm a Tasmanian Aborigine? Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at my children. What's missing? Land, colour, language, ceremony. You cannot box me in like that. I refuse to allow you. Society is the you I'm talking about. And you choose where you stand in society. But you hear me, everyone around this circle. We are poorer without each other than we are richer with our own kind. I'll share something else with you. In the concept of time not being of essence, but time being the essence, there was a period that the Bible describes as in the beginning. Yeah? I learned from an Arunder elder, Eli Rabunja, that one word for what is disparagingly referred to as the dream time is the word that sounds like Yaminga. And when translated into English, it means in the beginning. So whoever wrote the book was either Arunda. How coincidental can this be? I mean, let your minds range free. During the time in the beginning, conceptually, we have to find this space and find where we stand within it. If we do indeed, and if we don't, we have to put our hand up and with integrity say, I need entry to this nursery. I need nurturing. Once the nurseries were constructed by the energies that coalesce to take various forms to consult with each other in the before physical time, I believe that they made choices and decisions. I can believe it because I can see it. Biripi country, it has its own sites, its own sacredness. It produces its own offspring, and the first children out of the nursery, back whenever that was, are here today in their direct blood descendants, in the ones they adopted or chose to keep, and in the spirits of their ancestors. I wish to offend no Biripi. I just need to say that it is a nursery concept, yeah? Because with me, someone got in and shot all our babies, murdered them in their humidity cribs. So I have to take a chance that my brothers and sisters will allow me to be a little more universal as an Aborigine than most people can. Now, some of the offspring proved less desirable than others, but the parents of the nursery didn't destroy them. They left them there to continue in the cycle of life as examples of what one might not do or ought not do. And to balance the universe, those that were products of this nursery that were approved of the parent continue the same. It's a mirror. It's an image that requires the other mirror to exist. And we are a product of that. Now, is that philosophy? I hope so. I'll close because people think I'm a good storyteller, and I'm here to share. And like music, humour is an incredible sharing process. So I'll share a story with you and make you laugh. Not at me, with me. There was a guy who was on his way to a meeting in a hurry, but he knew he needed another suit. And he sees this tailor, rushes in, gets a measure up, $700 for the suit. Now, it's not a problem because he's a bit of an exec. Anyway, he realises his Amex card's over by $200 too much and he can't get it, and he walks down the road to another tailor and he said, for you I can make a suit for $70. I can have it ready. 4 hours. Yeah, but it's a good quality, it's a good quality. Oh, you will be so happy with this suit. Yeah, but will it fit well? You've only measured me once. Do I come back? No. Trust me. Anyway, the guy makes the suit and he comes back for the fitting, and one sleeve is too much this long here. Can you see? Yeah? Not an obscene gesture. I'm just saying the sleeve is too long here. And this sleeve is too short here. And the tailor said, it's a perfect fit. He says, all you have to do is bend your elbow, lift your arm up, shrug your shoulder down, crook your arm, and you see the sleeves match the end of the shirt. It's perfect. He said, then what about the buttons? The buttons were skewed like this. Don't worry. We can fix that. You button this one here and this one here and see the bottom of the coat is straight. And he puts the trousers on and, way, look, shame, John. Old fork of the trousers hanging down here. One leg too short, one leg too long. The trousers don't fit, this guy said. The coat fits perfectly, but the trousers don't fit. And the old tailor says, no problem. The long trouser leg, you step forward, bend your knee, and twist your back like that. You see, now this trouser leg drops down even. Now, $70. I dropped the price for you. And the guy's hands him over. How he gets his wallet, don't ask me. And he's walking down the street like this. And of course the crutch is still a bit low, so we've got to lean forward and back. So pushing his behind out like this. Walking along the street. And this other lad rushed up to him. He said, tell me the name of your tailor. Tell me the name of the tailor. And the guy said, don't be crazy. Why would you want a suit like this? And the guy said, anybody with a physique like yours that can have such a perfectly fitting suit, I want a tailor to make a suit for me like that. Now, the moral of the story, not that I want to get political, is we as Indigenous people around the world walk like this. We are made cripple. We are made cripple. The image is made cripple. We are forced to conform. It is time to be free. Give me not philosophy, we have that. We can share that. Let me say to you, give me freedom. The right to be the poorest person in the land, as the sister said to me this morning, but still the most gracious host. I thank you for your time.
from Southern Cross University, Palawaman, Errol West.